What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Off the Record in Quarantine. I'm your host, Imogen Marshall, and as always, please remember to rate, view, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. All the details are on our website at www.offtherecorduk.com. Now, of course, first, we've got the news. So we've had a few more album releases. Keith Urban announced that he'll be releasing his Speed of Now album in September of this year. Gwen Stefani made her Opry debut. She performed on the live stream, The Circle Sessions, with obviously her boyfriend, Blake Shelton. They did their song Nothing But You. Martin Ride has found a new track on Songland. It's absolutely stunning. Definitely go and have a listen to that and familiarise yourself with the show. It's a really cool concept with Shane McAnally involved. So definitely one to check out. This week, Kelsey Kulik and Eric Etheridge will be performing on the Live in Your Living Room sessions on Destination Country. So definitely snap up your tickets for that one. And we've got a whole load of new releases. Danielle Bradbury has released her song Never Have I Ever. If you were at the CMA Songwriters Sessions in November, you'll have caught that song. It's really, don't let the title fool you, it's really clever and really raw songwriting. Absolutely love this one. My highlight for this week was Eric Pasley's new track Heartbeat Higher with his co-writer Sarah Buxton, offering her vocals on that one. It's absolutely stunning. And Olivia Lane's Living Instead is another gorgeous track, along with Tim McGraw's I Called Mama, just in time for Mother's Day. So in a nutshell, that's been your news for this week. Now, this week we have the lovely duo, the Shires, who are obviously the reigning king queen of UK country on the podcast this week. So I spoke to these guys probably a few weeks back now, Ben and Chrissy, to talk all about their new album, Good Years, and life in quarantine and more. So I really enjoyed this chat with them. Please welcome the Shires. How are you guys holding up?
Oh, good.
Just getting through day by day.
Well, I think it's going to be different for everybody in their individual homes and stuff. And so the people that are going out to work must have a very different experience. It's quite interesting to see how everybody else is getting on.
Have you found that you've been able to be creative? Because I've been speaking to quite a few different people, and some people feel like this is the most creative they've ever been because they're just in a vacuum at home. And some people are like, nope, nothing to draw upon.
That's funny. I do you know what? Because I'm at home and I recently moved house, I have been doing a million and one things in, like, just doing housework stuff.
Yeah.
But only last night I kind of just stopped and I sat down at my piano, and I have been playing every single day and singing.
Yeah.
But I feel like because I'm home, I've got so much occupying myself.
Yeah.
But I completely know what people are saying about having that kind of quiet time where there isn't anything that you can do as such. Amazing for creativity and just quieting the mind. Sure.
Yeah, which I feel like, I mean, I've been a fan of all your music since Brave, and I absolutely adored Good Years. I think it's my favourite album of yours so far. It felt like such a self-reflective album. Was that kind of the headspace that you went into that album with?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we had like so much time at home between sort of records, and we weren't touring as much.
Yeah.
And, we had some time to kind of like live a bit.
Yeah.
I think that really came across in the record, definitely. Well, it wasn't a conscious decision.
No.
Particularly I listened back to the whole thing, but you picked up on it as well. It definitely sounds a lot more kind of reflective. Because when you're sort of doing what we do, you're just jumping from thing to thing.
Yeah.
Especially in promotion mode. So you just don't get that chance to kind of live. And it's that complete cliche that, you know, most artists go through. So I go from the hotel room to the bus. And it's like, it sounds a bit self-indulgent, but actually, you know, the songs that really resonate with people from the first records are normally the ones that, you know, you've written when you haven't had any experience about, you just have real life experience. So I think having that play was good for us.
Yeah, and I mean, sort of, obviously Accidentally on Purpose was, you know, you were able to play the big venues, and the Royal Albert Hall show was just incredible. This one was much quieter. Do you feel like the legacy of the record will kind of be almost tapping into it, and like that connection with your fans on a sort of more, not deeper level, but do you know what I mean? People will like tap into those deeper moments.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's definitely the case with this album. I think with Accidentally on Purpose, we were having such a fun time out in Nashville, and a lot of those songs were kind of inspired by that. And you know, that is so very country music, especially more right now. Actually, a lot of, you know, kind of drinking songs. And stuff. So there is, you know, letting yourself go for a little bit, having a good time. But yeah, some of these songs are much more reflective, a bit more kind of closer to our first and second albums.
Yeah.
I think they're a bit more relatable for sure, and a bit more heart and meaning behind them.
But you still had your first song, which had whiskey in the title. I feel like now the fourth album, you can kind of now have that in the title.
Yeah, that's a fun song to write that as well.
Yeah.
With a guy from Nashville called Kip Williams, and then a couple of people as well. Kip had literally just got off the plane from Nashville, and he had these two little tiny bottles of, you know, the whiskeys you get on the plane. And a Jack Daniels. It's a bit too early for me, but he was jet lagged. Although I'm not sure it's the right way around.
I was about to say that doesn't quite work the time zones, but there you go.
Yeah, but he was like, "Let's." I don't know how the songs came about.
Yeah.
You're right. It's nice to have a whiskey song, and you know, again, we've had the experience of that. Like Chrissy said, we spent a lot of time in Nashville.
Mm.
We had our first Fireball with cinnamon whiskey. You know, like sort of.
What a big moment in any artist's life? Their first Fireball.
Yeah, we did a little tour in January with some, it was called Young Voices. In schools and stuff. And it was actually quite a lot of fun. And we introduced a lot of the crew to Fireballs. And it's funny, the second it sort of hits your lips, it just tastes like Nashville to us.
Yeah, whereas I've been told it's actually a college drink, so people make fun of me if I say, "Oh, Fireball," and people are like, "No, that's when you drink when you're like 16 and you're not allowed in America." But they
no way, I didn't know that.
There you go. I feel like Nashville, you know, you guys have kind of, particularly with the songwriting aspect, you guys have really tapped into Nashville in a way that, you know, some people go over, you know, once or twice, but I feel like you've made sure throughout all your records that you've really ingrained yourself in kind of the Nashville songwriting scene over there. Has that always been really important to you and something you wanted to do from the first moment you guys met?
Yeah, pretty much. We do love when we first met, neither of us had ever been into the United States. So the first time that we went to the States was going to Nashville and going together as well. And you know, it was very much like a kind of theme park to us at that point. And we kind of just soaked it all in and, you know, just went down Broadway
into
the Opry and kind of did all the kind of stereotyping.
You got to do it, though.
Absolutely. It's such an amazing place to go to go and visit. But also we feel like very immersed in it all now. We've got so many friends out there, songwriters, that we know, and we can kind of go out and write. You know, we often go out for kind of 3 weeks at a time and have writing sessions every single day, and there's just such an amazing scene over there for songwriting, and you know, the bars are filled with songwriters as well, playing music at night times as well. So yeah, we absolutely love it over there, and it's definitely a big part of what we do.
Yeah, now you've obviously got your label over there, and you've probably got a home base, and you've been quite vocal about the fact that this record you sort of want to like pursue America a bit more. Is that still the case?
Yeah, totally. And that was you know, part of the reason we really wanted to sign with BMG, Broken Bow. And it's funny, like, you know, this is our second record deal, and you know, you get kind of I won't say promised a lot of things, but there's a lot of kind of lip service, like when you're negotiating a deal, and they were like, "No, America, we really believe in you, we really want to break an international country act." And you know, we thought it seemed like the right home for us anyway.
Yeah.
We've heard that before, basically. I'm trying to be political here. So.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Yeah, but they completely, like, stepped up already. Like, we had a trip out there a few weeks ago before everything kind of shut down.
Yeah, I was about to say, good timing.
I know, it was funny, because, like, none of us obviously saw it coming. We sat in here in the label with them, playing them all these new songs, and they even brought in Hattie B's, which is like, you know, my favourite hot chicken place in Nashville.
Yeah.
Which is a complete coincidence. I think, you know, it's meant to be. When I saw the Hattie B's in the table,
you're like, right,
it's meant to be for us. But then, funny how this record, we didn't really We didn't try to make a record for America, whereas I'd say, I think it's fair to say with Accidentally on Purpose, the last record, we probably did a bit. You know, obviously, you've touched on how we wanted to play bigger venues, but also it was America with Black Flatheads as well.
Yeah.
Because this one did what we do, and it's funny how it's actually seems to be resonating a lot more with the Americans already.
I was going to say, it feels kind of aligned with kind of, I've spoken to people about the fact that I feel like everyone at the moment, you know, have had this time of kind of big songs, and now people resonate with, you know, the really relatable tracks, and the kind of songwriting and story element is coming back, and that is something that's so at the core of this record. So I feel like it is kind of, I'm hoping the stars are aligned a little bit in that aspect.
Yeah. I think so. With everything kind of going on at the moment, you know, we obviously a lot of these songs were written before we went on lockdown, etc. But it's amazing how, you know, I've definitely personally gone on massive ups and downs emotionally over the last kind of 5 or 6 weeks. And, you know, some of the songs are just so apt, you know, like Crazy Days, obviously, just really talked to me at the moment. Good Years as well, just the that you have. And I think
even Independence Day, I'm sorry, but that's a big one for when we finally get released. That's going to be
I think it's and about last night as well, how it's just a classic sort of love song, but I think this whole time is making people reflect differently, and I think you're right, hopefully there'll be a lot more you know, songs coming back. When I think the big thing that all the stars did the other day, was it called Together at Home?
Taylor
Swift, for example, whatever it's called,
that one.
You know, there were just loads of real songs on that. Probably as an appetite song coming back.
Yeah, and one of my favourite tracks on the album was People Like Us, which I feel like was just, there's so many different ways you could kind of interpret that song, but what was kind of the inspiration, I guess, in the writing room when you wrote that track?
We were in Nashville, and we haven't been. When did we last go to Nashville, Chrissy? Before that trip?
It was in May that we'd gone last year, wasn't it?
Well, we hadn't been there for like ages, had we?
Oh, before then, you say?
Yeah.
So we hadn't been. It was the following January, I think, from when we last recorded the last album, weren't it?
Yes, that's like a good.
God, that's mad. Thinking back, and you're now talking about the songs now, and people have just heard them. But actually, it's.
No.
Years ago.
Well, it's funny that Chris and I are the same. What we do is we kind of make sure when we have a trip like that, we take loads and loads of titles with us. So, you know, that's kind of a natural way of titles. But that one, we've been writing for like 3 or 4 days, maybe 5 or 6 days actually. It was pretty full on. And then I just woke up in the hotel room and had this idea. People Like Us, I took it into a writing room with a guy called Bob Tapiro, who's had, you know, just, you know, hundreds of hits and like one or something, and it was just that kind of celebration of, you know, I'm just happy with the way we are. And I love you in a way, and you're right, you can interpret it other ways. I'm sure if we end up playing that live, it could be a song for the whole audience saying, we're probably my country in the UK is a bit marginalized, but you know, we don't care, we love this. So you're right, you can interpret it a lot of ways, but I think that's a very relatable sort of thing now in this generation. This time is just so cheesy, but just be who you are and you find your people. And I think, you know, me and Chrissy, we found each other and we found that country audience, and you know, I've never felt more at home in my life.
There is something kind of special about the UK country audience and the way, you know, I feel like the fandom that's been created around you guys, and you guys were so at the helm of kind of this wave of country and bringing it to the mainstream and being able to be at the front of things like C2C. And it's kind of cool.
Thank you.
Sorry, Karen.
Are definitely the bestest.
The bestest.
We are very grateful for them. I know them when we toured with Kanan Smith a few years back. He came off stage after the first show, and he was like, I don't know how that went, because like everybody was just super quiet and there was clapping after each song. And, you know, the fact that here in the UK, we really listen, you know, we love to hear what the artist has to say and what's been said in the song. And so, you know, as an audience, we sit there in complete awe of these artists listening to all the words. But in the States, it's a very different story. You know, they're very loud and very drink heavy and having a good time. And it's great that over here we're just so appreciative for the song.
Yeah. And the last track I wanted to talk to you guys about was about Last Night, which again was such a standout. I feel like this is the kind of almost the Need You Now, which you've talked about being such big fans of Lady Antebellum. Was that kind of a conscious decision, or was it just, well, I mean, it's going to be a natural thing, but when you kind of released it, was that in the back of your head?
Absolutely. We do love Need You Now by Lady A. They've been a big inspiration for us. And this was actually an outsourced song. So the song was sent to us, to our record label, and they sent it to us. And, you know, we heard it, and initially it was just a female singer doing the demo, and the both of us just fell in love with the song and could totally hear, you know, the sound of it. We took it to our producer, and he completely got it as well. And yeah, just love that kind of conversational aspect of it, talking, you know, her side and his side, and bring it together in the chorus. It's just such a great melody, a great storyline, and a real fun one to
come. Well, it brings out both your harmonies and the ability to like sing, but then just matching your voices, I guess.
Absolutely.
It's so simple. It's a simple song.
Yeah.
You talk about needing it, those big songs. That one, you know, I'm sure a lot of people can relate to, can we talk about Last Night? You know, it's a simple concept.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the time, we spend a lot of time trying to be clever. And Rachel and Katia, who wrote that song, they just wrote a song that's just really relatable. And like you said, it just spoke to us completely instantly.
Yeah. And then I guess.
And another point with that one is that. I remember hearing it and thinking, my goodness, that's very high. And I kind of worked it all out, and it turns out that it's literally at the bottom of my kind of working vocal range and the very top. So if there's ever a day that my voice isn't feeling great, there is not an opportunity to move it, you know, down a semitone or anything, because it is literally, it covers the whole of my range. So it's a really great kind of vocal challenge for me.
Just testing yourself all the time, constantly.
All the time.
So I guess the one thing that we've got to look forward to is your tour, which has been rescheduled to later this year. Is that right?
Yeah.
So all fingers crossed that everything can go ahead with that. Just my final few questions, they're just a bit shorter. So wine or whiskey?
Wine.
Gosh, it's so hard. for wine daily.
If there was a biopic about the Shires, what would the opening track be?
I'd say Nashville Grey Skies.
Ooh.
Yes.
Would you rather give up songwriting or performing?
I think we'll have different answers here.
Yeah, I come from more of a performing background.
Yeah.
I would appreciate if somebody gave me their songs and I could go out and perform them, for sure, definitely, all the way.
I couldn't live without songwriting. As much as I love performing, I'd be a songwriter, definitely.
And then finally just complete...
We can still work together that way.
Yeah, perfect.
We'll be fine.
And finally, just complete the sentence. So, music is...
healing.
Yeah, love that.
My life.
Country music is...
my life.
And I feel like the last one will be the same. The Shires are... Ben's life?
it's funny, I don't know, the Shires is or are. Oh, the Shires are.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The Shires are best friends.
Oh,
love it.
Bestest friends.
Thank you guys so much for taking the time to chat with me, and I have got everything crossed that we can see you on tour later this year.
Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
So thank you so much to Ben and Chrissy for that. And that will do for another episode of Off the Record. Make sure to tune in next week. We've got some more exciting guests lined up. Have a great week. Bye, y'all.